The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Welcome to another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home. Marcus Paff joined by Reggie Rizzou. On today's episode, black rhinos make a comeback in Kenya. We'll bring you the latest efforts of conservationist tooth fairy inflation. This one ought to be fun. And Apple says one long-time solution for damaged iPhones is no good. Stop doing it. Plus, this day in history, a grand day for a national park. That's coming up on Cool Stuff. Africa is home to some of the world's most fascinating wildlife, and rhinoceros are at or near the top of that list, at least for me. Unfortunately, the animal's population had been in a steep decline since the 1970s due to poaching and was at one point on the verge of outright extinction. In 1989, the same year the Kenya Wildlife Service was established, it's estimated there were only 400 remaining black rhinos in the wild, down from 20,000 in the early 70s. Thankfully, steps were taken in subsequent decades to ensure the animal's survival, and this month, February 2024, the aforementioned Kenya Wildlife Service celebrated the successful transfer of 21 eastern black rhinos to the Losaiba Conservancy, establishing a new viable breeding population for the species. Losaiba is a 58,000-acre wildlife conservancy located in northern Kenya. It's actually the 17th such sanctuary in the African nation where these mammoth animals can roam and intermingle. The rhino's introduction to Losaiba was part of an 18-day exercise executed by highly trained veterinary experts. Said Tom Sylvester, the CEO of Losaiba Conservancy, quote, "It's incredibly exciting to be part of the resettlement of rhinos to a landscape where they've been absent for 50 years," end quote. This conservation effort is the latest step in what's proven to already be a remarkable comeback for the black rhino, as today there are an estimated 1,004 individuals living in the wild. It was all made possible by support from the Nature Conservancy, San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, and the three reserves from where the 21 rhinos originated, Nairobi National Park, Old Paheta Conservancy, and Lua Conservancy. Dr. Max Graham, CEO and founder of Space for Giants, one of the project partners, recently said, quote, "The return of black rhinos to Losaiba 50 years after the last known individual here was killed by poachers in the 1970s is a demonstration of how impactful partnerships between governments and conservation NGOs can be for restoring, managing, and protecting our natural world. And of course, the return of black rhinos here gives all of us one of the most precious commodities of all, hope." End quote. Per GNN, Kenya is a stronghold of the eastern subspecies of black rhino, hosting approximately 80% of the entire world's surviving population. Meanwhile, southern white rhino populations also continue to bounce back in Kenya, having increased from 50 individuals that were imported from South Africa in the 80s and 90s to reach the current population of 971 individuals. So, you might be asking yourself, what's the difference between the white and black rhino? Well, in some respects, the two look very similar, but there are some obvious differences. First of all, I will note this. While they're called black and white rhinos, both are typically of a grayish color. What is probably coming to mind for you is accurate. Per Safari Adventures and SafariVentures.com, some suggest the name white came from a mistranslation of the Afrikaan word for weird to indicate the wide lip that characterized white rhinos as opposed to the hook-shaped lip of black rhinos. That difference has to do with their respective diets. While rhinos are grazers, or I should say white rhinos are grazers, so flat, broad lips serve their purpose to grip and tear grass. Conversely, black rhinos feed on leaves and branches, so they've developed pointed lips to grab a hold of trees. Also, white rhinos tend to be significantly larger. Their body is long and barrel-shaped, while black rhinos are shorter and more compact. An adult white rhino can weigh up to 5,000 pounds, with some outliers weighing up to 7,000, while a black rhino typically doesn't go over 2,200 pounds. Feeding on grass resulted in white rhinos having a weakened neck and small eyes, since they don't raise their heads to feed. For that reason, they don't have great eyesight either. Because of their poor eyesight, white rhinos have tubular long ears acting as satellites to keep them in tune with their surroundings, while black rhinos have smaller rounded ears. And finally, white rhinos usually have a longer front horn and a much shorter second horn. Black rhinos have shorter front horns than white rhinos do, but the second horn is only slightly shorter. Hopefully you never run into one of these guys without some means of escape, but it is worth noting black rhinos tend to be more aggressive and territorial than white rhinos. So, you know, keep that in mind if you find yourself in such a situation. I don't want to run into either one of these, Reggie, but I'm not sure what to do because they can run quite fast as well. So I don't know what your best bet is in this instance.
Yeah, that's one thing that's always been surprising about rhinos is how fast they actually are. They are really fast. And I do think it's funny the black rhinos, which tend to be smaller, clearly have a Napoleon complex. They're more aggressive. But I didn't actually know the differences between the two, so that's fascinating.
Well, from what I read about the black rhinos, the speculation is, because they don't really know this with 100% certainty, but the fact that they have better eyesight makes them more alert to what's going on around them and therefore a bit more aggressive because they likely feel more threatened than white rhinos who, I mean, I don't want to say they're blind, but they're looking at the ground a lot to try to acquire food. And like we said, the eyesight not as good, so perhaps not as caught up with what's going on around them.
Well, maybe weighing 5,000, maybe sometimes up to 7,000 pounds make you feel less threatened by the world around you.
You would think, especially when you've got a massive horn on the front of your nose.
Yeah, and it's not like those cats, they can be a little bit faster, but like I said, those rhinos can keep up if they wanted to.
Oh, in excess of 30 miles an hour. That's the wild thing there. And they're herbivores. That's the even crazier part to me is because the look is just vicious with that horn. But they're out there munching on grass and trees and still maintaining that massive physique.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Some new numbers were recently released on what the Tooth Fairy delivers, and I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I only remember receiving change, maybe the occasional dollar from the Tooth Fairy. I realize I'm starting to sound like an old curmudgeon, but I am. You know, get off my lawn, Marcus. I mean, come on.
Sorry you didn't get rich as a child.
Yeah. So inflation has more than definitely hit the Tooth Fairy industry. The U.S. average for money left under the pillow in 2001 was $2. By 2023, that has gone up to $6, according to Delta Dental. Mark Berhenny, a former dentist who runs the AskTheDental.com website, said some kids are definitely receiving more than just that $6, too. He has stories of kids getting, quote, cash, a video game, sometimes an iPhone, end quote. He believes it is the parents who are competing against each other, and that's what's causing this. According to the Wall Street Journal, Chidera Nigg from the UK went well beyond that $6 level. She said when her daughter lost her first tooth, she received a letter from the Tooth Fairy, 60 pounds, a silver fairy necklace, and a Louis Vuitton bracelet, which her husband purchased when the girl was born.
Wow. How old is the kid? She lost her first tooth. What is
so
she, four,
probably
five?
Five, six, somewhere in that range. Yeah. Yeah.
And a Louis Vuitton bag.
Bracelet.
Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry about that. More expensive.
So how dare you? So Ms. Nigg told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "This was her first baby tooth that she lost, and the process was uncomfortable for her. So we decided to give her a little extra Tooth Fairy experience." She added, "Childhood goes by so fast, and we believe in cherishing every moment, celebrating milestones, and creating long-lasting memories," end quote. Uh-huh. I think $6 would have probably created a good memory.
Yeah, let's celebrate. So this begs the question, what does she get with every other subsequent tooth that she loses? Yeah. Because now the precedent has been set.
There have been times where if I struggled to get the tooth out for my child, I did give him like an extra dollar or something, you know, like, hey, here's a little extra
fair.
Effort.
Because yeah. But it was run down to Rolex or anything like that. All right.
No. Hey, here's an iPhone with, you know, an iPad and here, let's just pile it on, you know.
And we're sending you to Vegas.
Yes.
This is like a big reveal on The Price is Right for the kid in the morning. That's what I'm picturing right now.
I can think of a lot of people, if they got a Louis Vuitton bracelet for losing a tooth, adults would start pulling out their teeth.
Yeah, you can always get verniers or caps or something yeah. put in there, I'm sure.
So personally, I've let my kids know that our tooth fairy, the one that comes to our house, is on a budget and can only bring so much. So don't expect what your friends and neighbors are getting.
Do they ever ask you why you got the tooth fairy on a budget and everyone else got one that yes. seemingly had limitless expenses to use?
Well, I did see another story where a kid got 3 1-pound coins and 2 chocolate coins to share with his sister, which I didn't think sounded too bad. That seems pretty reasonable. However, it didn't turn out well when the kid went to school and the other kids were upset. Like, why didn't we get chocolate from the tooth fairy?
Gosh, this has gotten out of hand.
So again, different tooth fairies for different houses. That's my explanation, because I know my neighbor before has, she couldn't find any dollar bills and all she had was a 20. So she stuck that under the pillow. And I'm like, nope, that is not happening in my house. I make sure I have coins or dollars. So, by the way, from 2021 to 2023, the first tooth lost is up 40% for what the kids get. But it's not just the tooth fairy that is spending more. It has been reported that potty training rewards are up 100%. And the cost of the end of year school parties have increased 90% in that same period as well. So we're just giving the kids more, I guess. And again, I'm stuck in my old ways of here's a couple of coins. Actually, what I've done before is to make it seem like more, instead of putting like $3 under the pillow or $2 under the pillow, I do it all in quarters. So then they get a bunch of change.
There you go.
It seems like more in their little, you know, for them, they see a bunch of coins. They're like, look what the tooth fairy left me. And then I don't have to spend a lot of money.
Now, what you got to do is create a scavenger hunt or something so that they can go on a little adventure to find each and every quarter that you want to leave them. The first quarter is under your pillow, and here's a clue to find the second. Now you keep them occupied while you work.
The problem is I'm lazy.
Maybe ask ChatGPT to create a riddle for you or something.
Maybe.
By the way, what is an end of the year school party? I mean, I don't think I had one of those, say, for after senior year of high school.
I don't know. There's the half birthday that a lot of kids celebrate. I don't do that either.
I'm not into the old man hour.
Yes. I'm not into all these little celebrations. It's just me. And part of it is I grew up with not a lot of money in my family. So we didn't do a lot of these parties. It wasn't part of our life. It just, yeah. You know, you had a birthday,
yep.
You had Christmas or whatever, you know, that's all it was. And like for Easter, we'd get candy, but now my kids, they get candy and some money and something else. And, you know, for Valentine's Day, Easter, they get all these things for all of these holidays now.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't know how good they have it, Reg.
I know.
For some reason, I'm picturing a tooth fairy leaving coupons that were cut out of the morning paper. Hey, 50% off beans. All right. Score, kid.
Hey, here's a pizza coupon. I'd take that one.
Wait, is it a tombstone? Yes. All right. Well, this next story is more of a two-part public service announcement. Part one, if you're considering purchasing an Apple iPhone off Amazon, or really any expensive item for that matter, be cognizant of the seller. And if the deal sounds too good to be true, there's a good chance it is. One man in India ordered what he thought was a legitimate iPhone 15, but upon receiving the device, he quickly came to realize it was an imposter, or so claims Gabbar Singh. He shared a picture of the product on X, formerly Twitter, which had a troubling message on the screen stating, quote, "Unfortunately, photos has stopped," end quote. That's all it said. Not really a typical message you get from Apple. His post also asked others if they'd had similar experiences with the e-commerce giant, and that took it viral as others chimed in with their tales of quote-unquote terror. For what it's worth, Amazon's social media help team is aware of these allegations and jumped in to request info from a variety of individuals who claimed to have had bad experiences with Amazon. Now, in full disclosure, I use Amazon to purchase a lot of different products and have typically had positive experiences myself, but I'm also aware of the irritation caused by having to go back and forth with online support teams. Reggie, do you use Amazon or other online retailers for anything? Or are you someone who still prefers to do it in person, head to the store?
I do shop online more than I ever used to. I used to use eBay a lot when I was younger. Now it tends to be more Amazon. I do buy quite a bit. I still like to go to the store and get stuff if I can.
Yeah, I'm with you.
There's something about seeing it, feeling it, especially when you're buying something like a TV or a phone. Like, I want to know what I'm getting and see how it feels and how it looks. But there are some things I'm like, you know what? This is $3. I'll give it a try.
Yeah, and certainly in cases where you can support a local retailer, that I'm all up for that. I don't love necessarily being part of the online giant and supporting that all the time. But there are some things where, quite frankly, convenience just wins out. But I'm like you, although I would say it's more about clothing. I am not buying clothes off the internet. I'm going to go in. I'm going to try it on. I'm going to make sure it fits me the way I want it. And I know some people will say, well, you can send it back. Not a big deal. Yeah, but do I want that hassle every time? I want a pair of pants and I want them now. I don't want to wait overnight, try them on, find out if I like them then, and then if not, send them back and then wait to get another pair of pants that might potentially fit me. It just feels like a cumbersome process that I'm not interested in.
Yeah, take that extra few minutes, go to the store, try them on.
Exactly. And part two of this public service announcement, by the way, that also concerns iPhones, though the lesson can likely be applied to other high-end smartphone users as well. So listen up, Reg. Stop placing your iPhone in rice when the device gets wet. That advice is coming straight from Apple. And I know this issue doesn't come up quite as often as it used to, given many phones are built to withstand a certain amount of moisture. But smartphones, of course, can still be damaged by getting wet. And placing wet electronics in rice to absorb the moisture has long been a common DIY practice. I've done it myself on multiple occasions. But Apple recently updated the guidance on its support page to specifically warn customers against it. The page reads, quote, "Don't put your iPhone in a bag of rice. Doing so could allow small particles of rice to damage your phone," end quote. The tech giant also warned against using compressed air or external heat sources to dry devices. Instead, wet iPhones are to be wiped dry and allowed to air dry naturally until all the moisture has evaporated. The phone should not be plugged into chargers until they're completely dry, but wireless charging remains safe. Nathan Rigger, a spokesperson for Samsung Australia, speaking to Yahoo Finance, offered similar advice for owners of Samsung phones. Quote, "I wouldn't recommend putting a wet phone in dry rice," end quote. Thanks to United Press International for their coverage of this story. So, Reg, have you ever been in that situation needing to dry out the phone quickly and you jam it in a bowl full of rice?
I don't like to waste my rice. I try not to get my phone wet if I can avoid it. Even though I have a phone right now that supposedly can get wet, I still don't trust it and I try to avoid getting it wet. I'm very particular about what I do with my phone.
So, well, I don't think most people are trying to get it wet.
I don't bring it near a pool. I leave it near the edge. I don't bring it near water. Yeah. So
okay, fair enough. I mean, you're careful. That's good. I mean, I've definitely spilled stuff on mine though, and it's not a fun process.
Well, and letting it air dry naturally, that can take a really long time. I'm usually very careful. There was one time I got it really wet, and I think I did put it in rice at the time. This was probably like 15 years ago. It still took a long time to dry.
Yeah. Well, the inside of the phone isn't exposed to the environment, so it's going to take an especially long time for that to get sucked out of there. And that's precisely why people have gone to rice. So I don't know if this will necessarily deter people, but it does sound like Apple doesn't think it's a good idea. And perhaps it could, potentially harm your warranty a little bit if you still have that. So anyway, just something to be cognizant of if it happens to you. Hopefully it's not happening as frequently as it once did with the quote unquote waterproof nature of these phones.
Here's your next $1,000 idea, because that's probably all it's going to be worth, is invent something similar to rice that you can put your phone in.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Taking a look at this day in history, on February 26, 1919, Congress finally passed an act to establish the Grand Canyon as a national park. I say finally because it took a while. The first bill trying to make it a national park was introduced in 1882 by Indiana Senator Benjamin Harrison. He tried again in 1883 and 1886 without success. When he became the 23rd president at the end of his only term in 1893, he was able to establish the Grand Canyon Forest Reserve. The 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt, then set up the Grand Canyon Game Preserve by proclamation in 1906 and the Grand Canyon National Monument in 1908. Bills to make the Grand Canyon a national park were introduced again in 1910 and 1911, but again, did not succeed. It was finally in 1919 with the 28th president, Woodrow Wilson, that the act passed and was signed. The National Park Service took over administration of the Grand Canyon. The National Park Service, though, was only a few years old at the time, as they were established in 1916. So it only took 37 years since he first tried it, but President Harrison's dream of the Grand Canyon becoming a national park finally came true. Unfortunately, he did not live to see it, as he died in 1901. And as I was looking at the story, there's a lot about President Harrison that I didn't know. He was a Union officer for the Civil War, Brevet Brigadier General. He practiced law. His father told him not to get into politics, but he kind of got the political eye there. He was known as a very smart, intellectual, well-spoken man that could also kind of give you that look that made you back away. That's what it's reported as. And he had a lot of acts out there. The Sherman Antitrust Act, the McKinley Tariff Act, the Sherman Silver Purchase Act, the Free Silver Movement. He had a lot of things going on. Actually, the more I read them, the more I'm fascinated by President Benjamin Harrison.
I'll have to do a little research of my own. Regarding the Grand Canyon story, I find that interesting because Arizona, where much of the Grand Canyon is located, didn't become a state until 1912. So you were effectively setting up a national park in a U.S. territory at that point.
Which probably explains why it took so long. But all I know is, you know, the fact that President Harrison kept trying, he must have visited and must have absolutely been amazed by it and just kind of like, it's got to be a national park. Let's do it, guys. Let's do it. This is just my assumption. It's probably not true, but my assumption, I think he became president just so he could try it. That'll close out another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home. You can reach us at coolstuffcommute@gmail.com. Like us, follow us, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I'm Reggie Rizzou. He's Marcus Path. We'll be back with more cool stuff tomorrow.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.